First, King Charles visits the Vatican this week. It's not just a meet and greet, though, between two heads of state. For the first time in 500 years, the Pope and a monarch who's also Supreme Governor of the Church of England will pray together publicly. Luke Coppen is UK editor of The Pillar, a website that covers the Catholic world.
King Charles is going to undertake a state visit to Vatican City. This is notable for a lot of reasons, but one of them is that this is a visit only to the Vatican rather than the Vatican and Italy, which is often how such visits are conducted. So this is a trip that's truly focused on relations between the British monarchy and the Catholic Church. King Charles will pray together with Pope Leo at a service in the Sistine Chapel. And this is being billed as the first time that a British monarch has prayed alongside a pope since the Reformation. This is a very important moment in relations between the Catholic Church and the Anglican Church, because King Charles III is the supreme governor of the Church of England. This isn't merely two heads of state meeting. It's also has a strong religious dimension as well.
Yeah, and on that, Luke, this may seem a minor point to some, but I think it's freighted with significance. Correct me if I'm wrong, but is it true that they will actually kneel together in prayer? It won't just be Charles and Camilla, you know, sitting in the front row praying with the rest of the crowd.
I don't know about kneeling for sure, although that is the customary posture for a pope to be praying. So it wouldn't surprise me if they were kneeling together. So it's being presented as the first time they've prayed together side by side. This is a sort of specially dedicated public prayer event in which it will be clear that the two men are praying together, completely explicit, that that's the purpose of it. As it hasn't happened before, it is truly a historic event.
Yeah. Do we know why this joint prayer service is happening now?
I believe that it was supposed to be part of a trip that was intended to take place earlier in the year when King Charles III was going to visit Pope Francis on a state visit. Unfortunately, because of Pope Francis's illness, the state visit was cancelled, although King Charles III then made a private visit with Queen Camilla to Pope Francis as he was very ill in April. So I think the joint prayer was supposed to be part of the earlier state visit that was cancelled. And now it's going ahead with Pope Leo.
Yeah, I guess the point is, Luke, the late Queen met, I think, most of the popes whose papacies coincided with her reign, but it never went this far. What's the difference?
I do think that the difference lies in the common prayer, because, as you mentioned, on the other occasions, the state visits of Queen Elizabeth II to the Vatican were more diplomatic occasions, more focused on her role as head of state in the UK rather than as the supreme governor of the Church of England. So I think this trip is explicitly recognising King Charles III's spiritual role as the supreme governor of the Church of England. That's a notable difference and a sign of how far ecumenical relations between Catholics and Anglicans have progressed in the last 50 years or so.
Yeah. Well, speaking of ecumenical relations, did I read, Luke, even the head of the Presbyterian Church, the Church of Scotland, is going to take part in this prayer service? Extraordinary, given that once upon a time, the Presbyterians had as part of their founding documents the statement that the Pope is, quote, the Antichrist.
Yes, I mean, their presence will certainly raise eyebrows at this event. It does recall for me an event that happened earlier in this year in which King Charles III asked a Catholic to represent him at a meeting of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. This was the first time in history, that this had happened and actually required a change in the law in the UK to allow a Catholic to represent King Charles as his delegate to this body in Scotland.
Now, the prayers that will be said in the Sistine Chapel reflect, I guess you could say, a shared set of interests. Maybe you could call them a shared set of values that the King and the Pope hold. What are these themes? What will be at the centre of these prayers, Luke?
So I think they're focusing on two topics. One, ecumenism, so relations between different Christian communions and the search for Christian unity. And the second is care of creation, so sensitivity to the environment and the Christian commitment to taking care of God's creation. Those are going to be the central themes. And both men have a track record of caring very deeply about the environment. Pope Leo is recently the first person to celebrate a new mass that's for the care of creation, has a special kind of intention behind it. King Charles, as we know, has a long history of environmental activism and support for environmental projects around the world.
It's not just this joint prayer service with the Pope. What's this honour, a Catholic honour, that's being bestowed on Charles, remembering that he's the supreme governor of a church that was once considered a heresy?
After he takes part in the event at the Sistine Chapel, he's going to go to the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls. This is one of the four papal basilicas, the four great papal churches of Rome. There, he's going to be given a special title of Royal Confrater, and he's going to be given his own chair inside the basilica as well. The title and the chair are a great honour, being given with permission of Pope Leo to King Charles. And that's in recognition of the deep historical connections between the basilica and the British royal family. Before the Reformation, British monarchs were great benefactors of the basilica, and they helped with this upkeep. This is a kind of rekindling of that ancient tie between the monarch and the basilica.
And I think he's even got his own chair that's been especially made with the coat of arms of the British monarch.
Yes, and it's interesting that when this was presented, they said this would be both for King Charles III and his successors. So there's a long-term view here that there will be an ongoing relationship in the future between the British monarch and the papal basilica. And whenever the monarch visits Rome, they go and sit in that chair and maybe attend a service. That is a very far-sighted way of reconnecting the Catholic Church with the British monarchy.
Speaking of far-sighted, how much of this, and this doesn't in any way dismiss Charles's genuine interest in interfaith relations, but how much of this is also pragmatic, given that the Catholic Church, I think, now has more weekly or monthly church attendees than Anglicanism in the United Kingdom? I mean, how much is this Charles recognising that with immigration, Britain is becoming not a Catholic country, but certainly a country with a stronger Catholic presence?
Yes, I think that's right. I think that's definitely present in his mind. And all these gestures go down very, very well with English Catholics, so they're greatly appreciated. I think the esteem for English Catholics in general, for King Charles III, is very high at this point. And he's seen as someone who kind of gets what Catholics, British Catholics, are about, and that they're not any threat to the British state as they were once portrayed. And he's done a great deal to encourage that. For example, attending events at Westminster Cathedral, the home of English Catholics, and speaking out on behalf of persecuted Christians around the world. These are things that have been noted by Catholics.
Luke Coppen of The Pillar. You're on ABC Radio National, hearing about the links between religion and the news that shapes the world.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations, live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.